Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with One Life CEO Dan Williams. The Denver, Colorado-based senior living operator recently completed a merger bringing in Ally Senior Living to create a 19-community owner and third-party management company. In 2024, One Life Senior Living will continue to deepen integration between organizations while looking outwardly for acquisition opportunities. Williams, along with founder and chief investment officer Zach Falk, view One Life's expansion based on existing market presence and deal specifics, with an emphasis on internal leadership development.
We are much aligned in our vision, much aligned in our mission, in the way that we approach the business, and there were a lot of synergies there.
Before we dive into today's episode, I want to highlight two upcoming events for Senior Housing News, including the Brain Memory Care event on May 16th and Dished Culinary event on May 17th in Chicago, Illinois. Visit seniorhousingnews.com/events to learn more. Now, here's my interview with One Life Senior Living CEO, Dan Williams. Dan, welcome back to Transform. It's great to chat again.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Austin. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, of course. And we know a lot's happened since we last spoke with you on Transform. I would love to have you outline the merger process and what went into the process and why the merger made sense for Ally, but also for One Life. It's the start of a new journey, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, a new journey, a big journey, a big decision. It was,
I had Ally Senior Living. I started it not too long ago, a couple of years ago. And, we built it into, we were on our way, we were growing. We got up to 10 communities that we were operating. And a friend of mine, Zach Falk, has had a company as well called One Life Senior Living. And they were, close to the size that we were. We would talk, we would have conversations, as friends and stuff and go, man, I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that, or I wish I had these resources. And, we were both, it was like an echo going on because we were both saying the same thing. So then we started talking about, what would it look like if we both merged? And how would that company look? And, we just, through those conversations, we found out that we are much aligned in our vision, much aligned in our mission, in the way that we approach the business. And there were a lot of synergies there. So we really, in the end, we both wanted to scale. We both want to take advantage of the headwinds coming up in our industry over the next 10 or 15 years. So scaling up and merging was a good thing for us. And it gives us a lot of benefits. I mean, we can have those specialists, the culinary specialists, right, that we can have the programs person. We can have asset manager to do the physical plant, where when you're smaller, you just don't have the money to do those things, frankly. It's been great. That's how we kind of came to the decision to do it.
Yeah, it's great to hear just kind of that journey, because I know there was probably a lot of thought that went into that, and seeing that, like you said, the like-minded interests and just the similar scope, it probably set the table for being able to just make sense and to move forward. Would love to know, right, just as it stands right now, can you talk about the portfolio for One Life and what it looks like just after the merger with Ally?
Yeah, so right now we're at 19 buildings. We will be at 20 buildings in about a week and a half, or April 1st. So One Life Senior Living, prior to the merger, we call it One Life 2.0 now, because we stuck with the One Life name and the One Life brand going forward. But prior to that, they had owned and operated their communities. So they had,
built it to, at the time of the merger, I think we were, it was at 8, and we've added one since then. So 9, and those are owned and operated by One Life. We had, at Ally Senior Living, we had 10 buildings that were under management contracts. So they were third-party management contracts. At Ally, we were going towards, you know, trying to purchase and so forth. It was just a kind of a difficult time to start an operator and get, you know, get acquisitions going. So we never got one under our belt during the first 2 years, but we were headed that way. Yeah, so that's kind of the portfolio now is, you know, we're about half management contracts and half that we own and operate ourselves.
And do you see that mix kind of being pretty similar to what it was in the past and keeping it at that around 50% mark? Or do you just kind of, I know we've talked in the past and you've talked about how it's kind of depends on the opportunity of what direction you're really looking at. So just with that mix of the portfolio in mind, is there kind mm-hmm. of a balance you're looking to achieve? Would love to know just kind of mm-hmm. going forward, what you're thinking about that balance between third-party management and also owned.
Yeah, I think the 50-50 is a good mix. It's going to fluctuate over the years. I mean, we want to be able to provide clients out there access to our specialty, you know, our specialists, our teams, the ones that, I mean, we've got an organization now with 100 plus years of experience just in the top few positions. So there's a lot of industry knowledge here, and we want to be able to utilize that, and we want to help out, you know, other owners of properties who need services. It helps us and it helps them a great deal, but we're sort of selective. We're going to be selective in that. We need to have, you know, fully aligned in how we look and approach senior living with those clients. So certainly the future includes continuing to do the third party management. It also includes acquisitions, and we're actively looking for value add acquisitions, distressed communities that we can take on, leverage our operational expertise in turning those around and creating, you know, value, creating a good environment for the employees to work in with a lot of hope and, right, and growth for employees and colleagues and continue growing is an exciting thing. You want to be, you know, most of our colleagues in our company want to be part of an organization that is, hey, looking for opportunity and grow, because then we create opportunity for those employees that are in-house. And, you know, always subscribed, and so has, you know, Zach, that we're going to look inside our company and develop talent before we go outside and find talent to bring in. It's just, we want those opportunities to be there. And that's in part of our mission as a company.
Yeah. And that kind of gets to my next question, is just with the merger between Ally and One Life and this One Life 2.0, as you're calling it. Would love to know, how does the merger really improve the vision and the mission now that you're able to bring on more communities, have more staff, it brings more scale. Would love to know just how that plays into the changing the vision and the mission. Would love to get your perspective on that.
Yeah. So, well, you know, in the beginning, we realized pretty quickly and years ago, when Zach and I had met each other and started talking, we were pretty much aligned on how we thought of things. We're both very purpose-driven people, very meaning-in-life people. We look at this industry and what we do and the product we provide to the consumer and the workplace we provide to, you know, employees. We look at that as a mission. I mean, that's our mission, and we have a purpose in life, and our purpose is to take care of seniors. And at the end of the day, that's what we do. We care for seniors. Now, there's a lot of nuances that go in that, but at the end of the day, we're caregivers too. In a way, Zach and I are caregivers, and that's how we look at it. So, it was easy to align those thoughts and know that we both wanted to create an organization that is that mission driven place that, you know, we employ. I mean, we employ 1,500 employees, and we want all those individuals, right, all those employees to find their purpose and their meaning in life. And we want to help them do it because we found ours. And, you know, a lot of people haven't found theirs, but a lot of people come to our industry because they're looking for something that means more than what they've had in life when it comes to career. And so we want to create an organization. And that's in a nutshell, you know, that's what we developed our mission statement around. And that's what we developed our vision statement around is purpose driven company.
Well, that's great to hear. I think it definitely plays into being able to see some of kind of where you've been to get where you're going type of mentality. And you've proven that experience. And I know Zach has that experience as well. Would love to know just when you're looking at the rest of the year for 2024, obviously to announce a merger at the beginning of the year is quite the undertaking, a lot of integration that goes into it. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But you want to just talk high level what some of the goals are for the remainder of the year with this One Life 2.0. I know obviously you had mentioned always being on the lookout for opportunity in terms of value add. But what are some other goals that you're really looking at? It's probably a lot of integration, but would love to know just kind of high level, what are you looking at for One Life for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, you know, Austin, you hit the nail on the head, or whatever that saying is. You hit the nail on the head, something like that. With the systems comment, I mean, it's, you know, we knew going in. I mean, you have two average size companies, and each company has their own systems that they use: accounting, sales and marketing, CRM, EHR for resident care delivery, EMARs,
right,
just tons of them. And we're different. So it's integrating those two systems, going with the best of what works best for each company. And that's been great because, you know, we've gone, well, One Life does this much better than Ally did it. So let's use that. And then on the other flip side, it's, well, Ally's, man, they really do good here. So let's use that. That's been a great benefit that I underestimated, I think, going in. However, creating that infrastructure and integrating those systems is not an easy thing. It's a task. I mean, it is.
Right.
Yeah. That's what pulls my hair out, and that's what I stay up late at night thinking about. However, the longer you go, the better it's getting. So we're seeing a lot of gains there. You know, as far as goals with growth, I mean, we've already added. So, you know, Zach and I started talking about the merger many months ago, and we actually merged the two teams and sort of how we operate last mid-November. We didn't really announce it and get all the legal paperwork done until just recently, as you know. So we've been working on this for a little while. And then prior to that, we had months that we were just talking about it, Zach and I. So growth, you know, we want to acquire. Basically, we're looking at acquisitions. We've got some letters of intent out right now on value add. So we're looking for buildings that are distressed, maybe built during the pandemic or opened during the pandemic, never really got off the ground, took off. Maybe there's special circumstances. Maybe it was a developer that wanted to get in senior housing but had never done it before and didn't realize how operational centric this business is. And this community didn't succeed. And so we like to go in there and find those kind of opportunities. And so we plan to you know, do about three or four of those this year. Now, we've already done one in Henderson, Nevada. Okay. So we got that one on board now. And that's one that'll be in our owned and operated shop. And then we still want to talk to new capital partners. We want to talk to clients who have maybe third party opportunities that need to find a really good operator and to operate their buildings. And so that's part of the growth too. But I think, you know, for me, you know, in order to handle that, you need to have your house in order. And, you know, I call the merger sort of control chaos, because it is a lot of, you're integrating two teams, two brands, two systems, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the main goal is to get all that sorted out. So going into next year, we're really all aligned with all of our systems and how we operate so that we can be a best in class operator. And that sums it up. But we're not going to let the integration process we're going through stop us from growth. So we're still actively looking for those opportunities out there.
Yeah, I can definitely tell there's a lot of determination behind your thoughts on integration and bringing all the systems together and to be in lockstep. We know there's a lot of work that has to go in to make that happen. We'd love to know just what are the toughest and most challenging aspects? Is it kind of figuring out which systems worked well or which processes worked well between the organizations? Or is it kind of more on the people side and getting everybody on board with the same message? We'd love to know, just kind of diving into the integration aspect, what some of the biggest challenges have been.
Yeah, a great question. I think you hit it too. You know, the integration, trying to get, you know, the systems all integrated, as we said, and as we've been talking about. Getting the tough part has been you're bringing together two very talented industry veteran type teams. So you're putting those people together and you're going, hey, this is a new company. It's One Life 2.0. You guys play nice in the sandbox and we're going to do this. You know, it's easier said than done sometimes. So what we did is we really emphasized culture and where we're going on our mission as a company and our vision. And I think having that foundation to lean upon for both sets of teams as they came together really, really helped. And that it's been really not as much of a challenge as I thought it would, bringing the two teams together, because there were definitely synergies. There were some things that One Life had that Ally didn't have, and vice versa. For instance, HR. They had an internal HR department. We didn't in Ally. We had it outsourced. So now we're bringing it in-house, growing that HR department. Same with accounting. We outsourced accounting. One Life has accounting inside, so now we're kind of a hybrid, but we'll probably end up building out that accounting department as an internal department and not outsourced. So, you know, meshing all those together has been, you know, sort of the toughest part. You know, it's a lot of evaluating the current talent we have and making sure we get the right people in the right spot on the right, you know, in the right seat on the bus. And so far, you know, so good. And we really have some great talent here and lots of experience, you know, and that part's been tough. There's other parts, you know, there's a lot of back and forth as far as the legality of bringing two companies together. So that's kind of been a challenge. You're working with, you know, and you're working with insurance companies, you're working with attorneys, you're working with, you know, those contracts for the systems. You're working with a lot of people that in your day to day, like if you operate a senior housing company that's not merged and it's 20, 30 communities, you don't have those distractions like that because you've already sorted that out. Right now, those are getting you know, those are all getting sorted out, and they have been. And so, but they're time consuming when you have to work with attorneys and insurance and so forth to make sure everything is in line. So that's kind of been a challenge too. It's more of a distraction, but it's necessary, you know, going forward to, for our infrastructure to go through that.
Right. And it's like you said, just kind of being able to get everybody on the same page this year to be able to kind of be in lockstep heading into 2025 and to kind of get all this tough and challenging integration behind you to really start making some meaningful gains. Not to say you aren't now, but to be able to expedite the whole process. I want to follow up. I know you mentioned, talked a little bit about growth when I had asked about it a little bit ago. But with the merger, I know obviously One Life has a portfolio of communities, just a Western portfolio and are Colorado based, if I'm not mistaken. What are the market areas you're really looking at now that you have a larger scope and a larger market area that you can really kind of look to build scale in? Would love to know just what markets you're really looking at, or is it kind of by opportunity?
It is sort of by opportunity, but you want to create, you know, we're currently the strongest in the West Coast, in California, Oregon. And so the Northwest and the West, we have building in Arizona, Phoenix area, Utah and Nevada. And then we have Texas, where we have a community, a couple of communities, and, you know, and then one in Florida that we're probably going to transition out of. It's just a third party contract, great owners, great building, but it's just a little too far from where we are. So we want to, the goal was you want to try to cluster. We want to try to cluster build. So in other words, okay, we're in Dallas. We have two buildings there. We may, you know, we're looking for two or three more because you can share resources. It's easier for your corporate office to travel. There's a lot of benefits to having buildings that are close to each other. So that's kind of what we're looking for when we enter a market. And so a lot of markets like Las Vegas, we have one building. We're looking for more. We've got a letter of intent out on trying to purchase another memory care building in that area. And so we want to build that up and stay, you know, as far as, I mean, I'm going to say west of the Mississippi, but, you know, we've got one in Illinois. It's hard to say. So we're going to the opportunity, but I think your top, if you look at the top, let's say 30 metros in the country, I mean, we want to stay in those, maybe 25, maybe the top 25. So, versus having more rural assets.
And that kind of gets into one of my other questions here, and this is a more broad picture about kind of just the state of the industry. And I know going into this, you had mentioned that there were conversations for a long time between you and Zach about the merger between LI and One Life. Do you see this as a way for other senior living organizations to maybe succeed going forward, to kind of join forces, to come together, and that sometimes mergers could make the most sense? Would love to know, just kind of when you're thinking about this big picture, would love to know if you think there are any other things that senior living organizations could maybe learn from the merger, and do you see this as a way for organizations to succeed going forward by coming together?
Yeah, I do. I certainly do, because it's not easy, speaking from experience, to open an operator during this time in our industry.
Right.
As we're coming out of the pandemic. We've kind of got a hangover from the pandemic and how we operate and our margins, how we're looking at staffing, just a lot of different things coming out of the pandemic. The industry, you know, suffered really hard with occupancy. It was a very tough time for me to start, you know, an operator. But, you know, I think that a lot of smaller companies can look to, hey, if we match with another company, let's merge. Because you've got some things going for you. You've got economies of scale you can leverage. You can get better pricing through GPOs, general purchasing organizations. You can get, you know, lower food costs. You can get all those different things to support, whether it's a third party, your owners, or yourself if you own the building.
Right.
You get talent acquisition. I mean, you can merge the talent too, where, as I said before, you know, when you're small, you can't afford too much talent. So you get that. And in today's operations and what we're seeing, you know, it's a lot different than 10 years ago when we were operating communities. It's different now. It's more complex. There's a lot more nuances in how you're going to run your assisted living. There's a lot of extra regulation came out of COVID in all the different states. So what you need some scale in order to get the resources to make the building successful. And I think both Zach and I realize that. And I think that, yeah, the other smaller companies, maybe in the same position that we were in, I think it makes sense to, you know, to merge. I would highly advise, you know, the owners of those companies to certainly make sure they're merging with somebody that they know and trust and have the same kind of vision going forward. And, you know, Zach and I looked at, we both have the same 10 to 15 year goals. We both know the headwinds of this, the demographics of this industry. We both have been through cycles and we've seen the industry go down. We've seen it go back up and we know it's going back up. We're sort of in a downturn. We feel like it's going up now. We know it's going to go back up. I mean, it's just waiting it out and getting what you can in order to take that on during the good years. And so I think other companies out there could look at, you know, they combine, scale up a little bit, get themselves in a good position to really grow. If that's your goal, is to really grow to a larger scale during, you know, the next 10 to 15 years.
I think that's a essential thing to talk about, because if you're able to find some similar vision and similar mission, and you're about the same size, it's like you said, you can bring those opportunities forward and help benefit everyone. I would love to know, just if we've got about 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Would love to touch on staffing, because I know you mentioned at the top of our conversation just the importance of retention, but also leadership development within One Life. So just within staffing right now, what are you really looking at as the biggest challenges and then biggest opportunities for the year? Are there any things you're really focusing on? Obviously, that talent development takes a little bit of time to build that pipeline. But when you're thinking about staffing, what are you guys looking at for this year?
You know, staffing is the key. I mean, staffing, when you look at a senior housing community as a business, your largest expense, 60-70% of the operating cost of that is labor, you know. And so it's so critical to the success of a community. From, you know, our forward fronting caregivers, our care partners on that take care of our seniors are so valuable, so important to us, and can make or break a building. So you have to put staffing retention and staffing recruiting, you know, it has to be up there as a main priority. And so we do that here. We have seen recently a lot of positive things when it comes to staffing. Over the last few years, we've seen wages go up real high. By the way, you know, the caregivers and the these people that take care, actually deliver the care, are the hardest working people out there, and they deserve, you know, everything that the wage increases. They certainly deserve that. But it has a ripple effect on the prices we have to charge and all those things. You know, we treat staffing a community today as, you know, like I said, a priority. But I mean, we use what's called an ATS, applicant tracking system. We treat every applicant that applies for a caregiver or whatever, just like it would, you would have a consumer that inquired to tour and move into your community. It's an aggressive follow up, convince these prospective employees that we're a great mission-driven culture and we like them to be a part of it, and really kind of focus on that to, you know, to shore up the staffing. And then, you know, on our end, we want to create an organization that people want to be in, and we want to create, you know, hope, growth and opportunity for them. And we do that by growing and having them part of us. I mean, we're going to try to develop everybody, all of our colleagues here, in-house with a lot of training, micro learning videos, all kinds of different things that we have planned for that. I do see industry wise, and I talk to my colleagues out there, and it's getting better. We're not utilizing agency near as much, or in our case, zero agency in most of our buildings. We're seeing wages stabilize, that kept going up and up over the last few years. Now they're kind of stabilizing. We're seeing the applicant pool of potential employees there's just a lot of positives that we're seeing that we weren't seeing a year and a half ago. So I remain optimistic on staffing in our industry. It's going to get tough, though. I mean, if the demographics play out like they say they will, one of our biggest challenges over the next 10 or 15 years is going to be, you know, staffing, and it's going to be at the care delivery level in each building. And you have to have, that has to be good in your building to succeed. It can't be a crappy care delivery system. You will go out of business. It just can't be. So you, as an organization, you know, we have to focus hard on that aspect of it.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us here on Transform. We are out of time for today. We will definitely be watching One Life as the journey continues and you continue to integrate, but also grow. We're really excited to watch that journey. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us here on Transform.
Austin, my pleasure. It's always good to see you guys, and I appreciate the time.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.